The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Lisa Osteen Comas says, that thing you're waiting for, it's on the way.
I mean, I went through an unwanted divorce in my early 20s. I went through 8 years of infertility. I opened a mail bomb, and it exploded on my lap, and God delivered me from that. And so when I talk about this, it's something I've lived.
Learning what to do while trusting God in seasons of waiting. Next.
Hello and welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson, and we have a lovely guest with us here today. I actually received her book in the mail, and I was just very touched by that. And then I started to read it and thought, this is a message that our people need to hear. So welcome, Lisa Osteen Comas.
Thank you so much, Sheila and Randy. It's so good to be here. It's awesome. I love the Robeson family, and I love this show and enjoy it myself. So thank you.
We're thrilled to have you back. And we've talked before, and your whole attitude, the encouragement that you bring, I think is always needed. But man, especially what so many people have been through.
Yes.
We appreciate it. Sheila, there's something you wanted to say real quick.
I love the subtitle.
Yes.
Don't give up on your dreams and prayers. And I just wondered, Lisa, you're a very busy woman. I've watched your Bible studies. You're really good.
Thank you.
What motivated writing this book at this time?
Well, I had been studying the book of Daniel. And in chapter 10, there's this amazing story about how Daniel found a promise about his people, the Jewish nation, and he began to pray and intercede and fast over it. And as he was doing that, it was a 21-day fast, and then God sent an angel in a vision to appear to him, and I love what he said to him. And it's something that is God is saying to us today and that God is doing for us today. And he said, Daniel, from the day you prayed, your prayers were heard. And he said, and from that day, God dispatched the answer. Mm. And he said this, he said, but on the way, he said, there was a fight in the spirit world. And I had to get backup from Michael. And we fought off the evil forces of darkness, and I arrived. And he said something that was very interesting too. He said, the dream, the vision that you read about, it's for an appointed time.
Wow.
And so anyway, there's so much in that. But the thing I saw was that when you pray, you trust God because you know that He's fighting our battles for us. Mm-hmm. He sort of pulled back the veil of the spirit realm and allowed us to see what's happening in the background. And so when we think, God, nothing's happening, you don't hear me, we can now begin to think, I can't see always in the spirit realm, mm-hmm. and my answer is on the way. God has heard me. It may be for an appointed time, and that's why I cannot give up. Our timing is not God's timing, and so we must wait on His timing.
Yeah, and that's the tough part, and I appreciate that look into what's going on sort of in the spirit world, because we don't always see it. And the waiting, that phrase, wait on the Lord, you know, to renew your strength, it feels like sometimes doing nothing. But that's not the case, is it?
It's not the case. I mean, I went through an unwanted divorce in my early 20s. I went through 8 years of infertility. I opened a mail bomb, and it exploded on my lap, and God delivered me from that. And so when I talk about this, it's something I've lived. It's not always overnight. Sometimes you have to wait on the promise. You have to walk through the process. God was so faithful to walk me through that process of healing after the divorce. But you know what? He had something better on the way. I've been married to Kevin almost 31 years now, but he brought healing and restoration. I could have given up right then and said, God, why did this happen to me? I've surgery all my life. But, you know, I trusted God's faithfulness. And so I think that's what we need to realize, that there's so much we can do in the meantime. You know, the Bible says, having done all, stand.
Yeah.
What do you do while you're standing? When you don't know what to do, you do what you know to do. And that is keep going to church and keep having a grateful heart. And when you lay down at night and you feel like, you know, another day's happened and another day's gone by and nothing's happened, you just say, no, I trust the faithfulness of God. Mm-hmm. I know the dream will come to pass. I know the promise is on the way. That's how I've seen it in my life. And I've seen the faithfulness of God over and over.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the story of Daniel, and I love that passage where we're given a sneak peek into what's going on.
Yes.
But I think, too, in Joseph's life, you know, and there's a part in Acts where it says, and God was with him, but it took like 12 years.
Yes.
How do we, I'm thinking of our viewers who are struggling, maybe this year, this last 2 years have been really hard. How do we wait well and not lose hope?
Well, that's such a good question. And I do talk about, that's what the whole book is about.
Yeah.
What do you do? But I have a chapter on, you have to press through until you break through. But there's so many things you can do. Number one is, don't obsess over the circumstances. Don't obsess over the problem. You've got to really keep your focus on Jesus and just keep being thankful for what you do have and what you don't have. Another thing that's helped me is to learn to encourage myself. I call it the art of encouraging yourself, because we learned that from David. You know, when everything was against him and even his men wanted to stone him, what did he do? He prayed to God and he encouraged himself in the Lord, the Bible says. And I think that the way we encourage ourselves in the Lord is, number one, look to God. Don't look at the haters. Don't look at all the negative circumstances and what's going on, but look to God. You know, David said this. He said, God, should I pursue? And God answered him. So in that time when it's so such a desperate need, say, God, what should I do?
Right.
God will speak to you. He will speak to you. And then encourage yourself in the Lord. And I do that by praising God, putting on worship music, dancing around my house a little bit. That's how I like to do it. But also getting into the Psalms and seeing that I'm not alone. And, you know, I love where David said, God, why am I so down? Why am I so downcast? And then he made this quick U-turn. And he said, I'm not going to stay here. And he said, I will put my hope and trust in God. Mm-hmm. And those are ways that you can encourage yourself and just make those U-turns when we feel like we're going down. Another thing is to recognize when you start going down that path.
Yeah.
You know, because if you will learn, hey, I'm going down, and instead of getting in bed, not getting out of my house, I'm going to stop now. I'm going to call somebody.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of the house, and I'm not going to spiral down. I think that helps also.
Yeah, I like that on a lot of levels. So many times we feel like, well, I need somebody else to do this for me.
Yeah.
Or in the church, I'm just waiting on God to do that for me. But the idea that you can encourage yourself through the Word of God, that's life-changing.
It
could
is.
Be for a lot of people.
You know, I'm surrounded. I had my daddy, my mama. You know,
we love
her
mama.
Now.
Right?
Thank you. I got 4 siblings. I'm surrounded by people who would encourage me any moment.
Right.
But there are times when it's only you and God.
Yeah.
And nobody understands your hurt, even your joy sometimes. Mm. And it's just you and God. And you have to learn that He loves you enough to speak to you in that moment and encourage you, and that you can draw on Him and you can draw on His strength. Mm-hmm. We've got to learn to do that instead of running around in a panic, always looking for someone. And you know we need each other, and I don't mean that in a negative way.
Right. Yeah.
But we've got to grow up in God and become mature and say, hey, God can listen to me. God will listen to me. God will hear me. And I'm going to sit still long enough to encourage myself in the Lord.
I love that.
Yeah.
When you talk about the fact that we get to know from Daniel's story that God had answered immediately, but there's a battle going on, I'm thinking of people right now who feel like they're under spiritual attack.
Yeah.
What What advice would you give them as to how to fight those battles?
Yeah. You know, Sheila, I went through something that was real sort of strange. It was a few years ago. And it was a spiritual attack, because every time I would get up at Lakewood to either preach or do the offering or encouragement, whatever I did, I felt opposition.
Wow.
Now, I would stumble over my words. Sometimes I felt like the words wouldn't come to me. And I would ask people, did you notice that I was struggling? And they'd say, no, I'm not. I didn't. And so this was going on so long, and I kept praying about it. And I even had the thought, maybe I should quit preaching. Maybe my time is over. And then I thought, oh, no, that's the enemy. And so I just prayed, and I resisted the enemy. And I was sitting in church worshiping. And as I was worshiping, God just dropped this in my spirit. Lisa, if you will keep pressing through, you will break through this. Mm-hmm. And I knew exactly what he meant. I could not quit.
Yeah.
That I was going to have to preach whether it felt good or not.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to have to get up on the stage whether I felt opposition or not. I was going to have to keep reading my Bible, coming to church, declaring the Word of God, and do everything I could. And do you know, as I did that, it didn't happen overnight, but one day when I was preaching, that thing broke over me, and then I walked in this freedom
right.
that I had never walked
right.
before. And so that was a real spiritual attack. And you know what? We have an enemy. He wants to stop us. We can resist him in the name of Jesus, but the Bible says he will return. But that's why the Bible says resist him steadfast. You do it with the name of Jesus, you do it with the Word of God, and you will win, because he is a defeated enemy.
Amen.
Well, yeah,
the Scripture says...
We can preach
on that.
Yeah,
that'll take us all day.
Yeah.
We have the guarantee, the promise in Scripture, that if we resist, he will flee.
Yes,
he doesn't have the choice.
Yes.
So yeah, no,
exactly.
You're 100% right. Here's one thing I think I struggle with, and I'm probably not alone in this. We pray for something, like Daniel, and we believe God has done it at that moment. But maybe like Daniel, there's some time. I mean, and sometimes
yes.
it can be years for people
yes.
until we see the fulfillment or the answer to that. Why do you think God wants us to pray through that whole process instead of one and done? Like,
yeah.
I gave it to God, I'm done with it, I'm moving on. But a yeah. lot of times we're called to repeat, to march around seven
yeah.
times. You know what I mean? Why the repetition, do you think?
I think a lot of it's for us.
And that's
not
what
God.
I think.
He's not worried.
Right. He heard us. He knows. He's
yes,
got us.
But,
I just
know,
think you're right.
But
it's
we
for
do.
Us.
We feel the discouragement. We wonder why. Why did it take me 7 years to get married again, you know, to be single again? Why did it take me 8 years to finally have children? But, you know, then I ask why, but now I see why.
Yeah.
And I see that he was preparing me. When I went through that divorce, I began to help people that had gone through the same thing mm-hmm. as I did. And that was so fulfilling to me. Well, that's where I learned to preach.
Right.
So in my worst hour, God, you know, taught me to call me into the ministry. And, you know, just there's so much God is doing in the meantime. And Sheila, you brought up Joseph, and he would not have been ready to run.
No.
Had he not
mm-mm.
gone through the pit and Potiphar's house and the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere he landed, God blessed him, used him, and
yeah.
he put his skills to use. And God trained him and prepared him for such a time as that.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we're learning in the meantime. I don't think we can ever look at God as withholding it. I think there's a right time. Habakkuk says there's an appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
In due season, we will reap. And I think we have to realize that we want everything fast,
yeah.
but God knows what is best for us. His timing is impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the waiting is us training and God preparing us and us trusting God. It's a test of our faith.
Yeah.
And are we going to keep our trust in God? Because I see a lot of people just, you know, walk away from God, blame God.
Yeah.
But he's the one that can help you and bring you to victory.
And I think, and feel free to write letters and send emails if I'm wrong, but I think that a lot of times that sometimes God is waiting or allowing time for other people to make the right decision.
Yes.
And so if we're praying for someone else or a circumstance and there's multiple people involved, we kind of got to all get on the same page, and God's patient with
yes.
them to let them grow and to let them learn and sometimes to let them make the mistakes that they need to come back. And so there's just a lot of moving parts. And I think that's, like you said, when we come back to him, it's for our own sake.
Yes, yes, it's so good.
One of the strongest things, honestly, I took from this book, and it's called It's On the Way, Don't Give Up on Your Dreams and Prayers, is that life is not, we live in such a quick fix society.
Yes.
We want it and we want it now. But I know in my own life that it's been the process of pressing through and pressing through, that the change has been in me, that God sometimes is more interested in who we're becoming than what we're doing. But I loved, you talk about getting your fight back.
Yes.
Talk to us about that.
Well, I tell you, if we're not careful, we'll just become complacent.
Yeah.
Or we'll just play the victim role. You know, everything bad happens to me. Why me? I mean, I did that at a time. God, why? I've served you since I was 3 years old. You know, why did I go through this? But, you know, God spoke to me during that time, and he told me, he said, just in my spirit, Lisa, quit asking why and realize that you have an enemy. And he's out to destroy you right now. Fight the real enemy. Mm-hmm. And when he said that, it put a fight in me.
Yeah.
And I realized, you know what? God is not withholding from me. The enemy is after me. He's after my voice. He's after me having children. He's just after us. And he is a defeated enemy, but he roars like a lion. And we have to learn to recognize him. And at the appropriate time, you don't rebuke everything, but you do rebuke the enemy.
Yes.
And, you know, there's storms in our lives that we can rebuke like Jesus did. And I think we have to keep that fire in our spirit and not, I give several characteristics of the victor mentality versus the victim mentality, and it's very different. And readers can identify which side are you on.
Yeah, I found that section very helpful. What do you hope that readers take away when they finally close the book and they've read it all? What is your prayer for them?
That they will never give up on their dreams and their prayers, no matter how long it's taken. That they will be greatly encouraged and equipped, that they will feel equipped with the tools from the Word of God to keep going and know that God will sustain you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sometimes it gets old and we think, I can't take another day. But, you know, it's on those days, sometimes I just say, God, I want to give up, but I'm not going to give up. And then I just eat some chocolate and go to bed because that makes me feel so
that
much
works
better.
Wonders, people. Trust me.
Yes. But anyway, I just think it's taking it a day at a time.
Yeah.
And you have the tools from the Word of God to make it through. Victory belongs to you. God holds victory in store for you. And so I want you to take away the fact that you're going to win, that God is on your side, and that you're going to make it.
I'd like to ask a little personal question here at the end. Your whole family, the Osteen, I mean, that name is synonymous with hope and encouragement and overcoming. And that's a very fascinating calling that I think God has definitely placed on all of your lives. Why do you think God chose you guys to be the ones that said, you know what, you're going to speak this message because people need to hear it?
Thank you, first of all. Thank you for saying that. I think it's maybe because we've been through a lot, you know, and we've faced a lot of things. You know, my parents were denominational ministers when I was born with a disease, a crippling disease. And, you know, that's when my dad just decided to read the Bible for himself. And he found out that Jesus is a healer. Mm. And they prayed for me and God did a miracle in my life. Mm. And so, you know, he was all of a sudden saw that God is a good God. Mm-hmm. God is a healing God. My mother went through cancer. They said she had a few weeks to live. And it didn't happen overnight, but God healed her. And, you know, we've been through a lot and we've seen the goodness of God. Mm. And we know that no matter what it is, loss, divorce, financial ruin, whatever it is, it's not that we don't go through things, it's that we go through them with God.
Wow.
And you just hang on to Jesus. And when you hang on to Jesus, you're going to come out better on the other end. And I guess that's why he's done it.
Yeah. And you're going to love this book. It's On the Way, Don't Give Up on Your Dreams and Prayers. And I'm going to tell you how to get hold of your own copy. But first of all, I want you to meet somebody, a really special woman. And God has done something special in her life, but she's asking us to join her. Would you watch this?
So, first, can you introduce yourself and tell us your name and what you do?
Yeah. My name is Bella. And I work like as a social worker in Siem Reap.
And what does it mean to be a social worker in Siem Reap?
It means that I go to KTV to find a girl and help them find a new job.
There's a popular form of recreation in Asia called karaoke television, or KTV. These KTVs are advertised as places to sing with friends. But as I've seen with my own eyes, in many areas, a KTV is a front for human trafficking.
And the guy go to sing, and then if they want to have sex, they ask the girl, would they go with them? And then they go. I know this feeling, you know.
How do you know that feeling?
Because I've been through. I used to feel, you know, I used to do that too. So I really know it and clearly that it's not what they want.
Although she was trafficked herself at the age of 12, Bella was rescued, and she has since chosen to put her faith in Christ. Today, Bella fights to reach, rescue, and restore girls from sexual slavery.
You know, sometimes I told them about my story. I said, before I used to do that too, and I know how to feel. I think if I'm without God, I'm nothing. So every day I always thank God for this life.
Tonight, there's a girl about to endure another round of exhausting torment. Bella's life was changed when somebody chose to help her. That same opportunity is yours right now.
I love Bella and I love her story. And what we now know, Bella's now married and she has children. She has this beautiful life that God has put back together. And the reason that it's been put back together is because of people like you. You have stood with us in these campaigns for years. And honestly, it's been one of the most harrowing campaigns to be part of. You know, I remember my first trip to Southeast Asia when I saw the age of these girls. I mean, they're just little girls. They're like your daughter, like your granddaughter, like your little sister. And they put all sorts of makeup on them and dress them up as if they're older. But I saw them during the day when they had no makeup on, and they're just little babies who should be loved. But because of the Partners at Life outreach, we've been able to go in to places like that, and Bella works with us, and tell other girls there is hope. Remember those nights you lay in the dark crying out, if there is a God, send someone to help me. Well, God heard that prayer. But now we need to do it even more. The evil is getting even darker as the days get darker. But we are the body of Christ on the planet at this time, and we're coming in as a mighty force in Jesus' name. And Randy, we can all do something.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know if you know this, but recently we received a report from one of our mission partners in the field where we had rescued a couple of girls, and it's heartbreaking, Sheila, because they were 5 and 7. That's what we're up against, but you know what? We don't stop. You know, we reach into these areas with the sole purpose of rescuing these children and restoring them. And you know what? It's interesting because Bella got to see the goodness of God, and we've talked about showing people the goodness of God. How do we do that? Well, we do that with you. Normally, it costs, on an average, $128 to reach into one of these areas and rescue one of these children or to put them through a program that would restore them. But we have a matching gift right now. We have people that have already stepped up into this campaign and said, we will match up to $320,000. What does that means to me? That means, Sheila, like, here we go. I kind of get excited. I'm like, we're gonna really blow we're gonna storm the gates of hell in this one, right? But we need you. We want you to make up the rest of that. That means that just to reach one child, instead of $128, it's $64. It doubles your impact. That's just the math on it. But here's the bottom line. We together are gonna, we're gonna storm the gates of hell is the way I think of it. I don't want to see any more children, much less the youngest, the most innocent, robbed. I want to show them the goodness of God, and I'm asking you to do that today. Join with us in Rescue Life. Let's reach out to these. Let's show them God is good. There is hope. He has a plan for you. He has a future. He has it for you, and He has it for these, and it's tied together. So will you go online? Will you go to the phones and give the best gift you can? You can help us rescue lives today. Do it now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to educate children at risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives, giving them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Sheila Walsh's brand new book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, a lifeline of hope for those who feel their life is falling apart. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Beauty Out of Ashes puzzle set, featuring an image taken by our team while on a trip to the mission field. This 500-piece puzzle forms a beautiful portrait of hope in the midst of despair. Included is a 24-piece puzzle for your children and grandchildren. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is the educational portion of Rescue Life, where we explain to the villagers what to look for, who to watch out for, the danger signs, if you will, of those who are trying to lure them into sex trafficking. Education is obviously a critical part of Rescue Life. I hope that you will go to the phone, you'll go online, you'll do whatever you can to support Rescue Life as we seek to reach into areas like this, rescue the girls who have been taken, and restore the lives of individuals, families, and communities. Do what you can. Help us as we help rescue lives all over the world. I pray you will do the best that you can today and know that when you do, we will do what we say we're going to do and rescue these children, reach into these dark areas, restore lives. And we want to share some hope with you, Sheila. I'm so encouraged by today's program, and I really hope people will request this book today when they support Rescue Life.
Yeah, for any gift at all, just say, I want Lisa's book. It's on the way. Don't give up on your dreams and prayers, Lisa. Thank you so much for being with
us.
Thank
you. Awesome. I so appreciate it.
And we will see you next time on Life Today. God bless you.
I made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father, the one who helped you see. Won't leave you recklessly.
Tomorrow.
The silence of heaven does not mean that God has stopped working. He has not withdrawn His presence.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.